This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today I will be taught the word of faith. I boldly confess that my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, and I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So, uncommon love. And it's a title that we really picked because we live in a society where, when it comes to marriages, that Christians don't really tend to follow God's way as much as they do the world's way,
right,
and this culture's way, and that's going to really get you in trouble.
Right.
You know, trying to live the quote-unquote Instagram life, that's not going to work out because a lot of times that's not real.
Right, because a lot of those photos you see on Instagram, they're staged. They're probably looking at somebody else's car.
Right.
You know what I mean? And then I think, number one, it's given us a false hope. Mm-hmm. Because it's not based on biblical principles,
right,
a lot of times. I'm not saying every relationship you see on Instagram is not authentic,
right,
but a lot of them are not. And I think when we govern our lives by the word of God,
mm-hmm,
that's where we're going to see true success in our marriages and even in our lives as a whole,
right,
because the word has to be our final authority in our lives.
That's it. The word has to be the final authority. God's word has a lot to say about marriages, and if we follow the blueprint, we can have success in our marriages.
Right.
But the key, y'all, you got to understand, it takes two to make a thing go right.
Absolutely.
That is the bottom line. It's going to take teamwork.
Right.
It's going to take me giving 100 and you giving 100, because contrary to popular belief, marriage is not 50-50.
Right.
You got it. Marriage is me giving 100%, you giving 100%, and I believe the reason why we have done so well this December, Lady LaConte and I will have been married 25 years. Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
I think it's amazing.
That is amazing.
And you know,
the same man
to the same woman.
Yes.
Amen. and you know, and we're having fun.
We are.
And you know, we still like each other.
That's,
you know,
important.
Because we love it. You know, some people say they love each other, and that's good, but you also need to like each other.
Right.
Isn't that right? And we like each other. I love seeing her every day. You got it? All the time. I can never get enough of Lady LaConte. You know.
Likewise. You
and
know.
So, you know, and we have a good time.
We do.
We have fun.
Right.
You got it. You know.
And I think it's important you said that we like one another. Because
yeah,
a lot of times in marriages, people do things because they just, well, that's, I'm married.
Yeah.
I love this guy. But you don't like him. You don't,
right,
want to see him. You don't want to go home because he's there.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that's not a good place to be.
Right.
I'm going to be good. I promise I'm
going to
be good. Okay. So, but sometimes people find themselves, they feel like they're stuck because they have committed to the marriage.
Right.
But they just feel like, I don't want to be here. But because of the vows that they've taken, they don't have the happy marriage.
Yeah.
They just have a marriage.
Well, and this is where singles listening is so important.
Right.
Because this is where, first of all, I would rather have you single wishing you were married than to have you married wishing you were single.
Right.
Can I get a
amen?
All right. And so if you're single and, you know, you're dating and that kind of thing, you have to learn how to check the boxes.
Right.
You can't overlook the red flags. There are people who are married that will say, boy, if I could just tell you, listen to pastor, check all the boxes.
Right.
Don't overlook the red flags. Sisters, you can't fix a man. You understand,
right,
what
don't
I'm saying?
Move so fast.
You got it.
Right.
You know, sex ain't gonna make them love you, and a baby ain't gonna make them stay. You
right.
got it.
Right.
And so you have to make sure that you do the right things. You know, and I say, you know, that for the woman, but for the man too. You got it, brothers. You know, when you're looking, you know, for a woman. I mean, listen, when I met Lady, I just was like, man, she's a Holy Ghost girl. I got to get me one of them. I got to get me a Holy Ghost girl.
Right.
You know, so now I got my Holy Ghost girl, living in my Holy Ghost world. Everything is okay. You understand? And
that's
so.
That's Canton Jones, guys.
Yeah. And so you're going to give all my secrets away, girl. Hold on now. I don't give all my stuff out. And so, anyways, I think that it's important that we do it God's way.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We have a scripture we'll start at Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And they're going to put that up. And it says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world.
Read.
Belay.
See, some of y'all laughing came up in them churches when we did that. See, some of y'all have no idea why Pastor just did that. And some of y'all, oh, no, I remember
so,
that.
I'm supposed to take my my voice to this new octave.
Yeah, she takes her voice to the next octave. I'm like, read it. And she's supposed to preach it, but go ahead.
I'm going
to
read it.
You're going to read it.
Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think.
Wow.
And then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect.
So if I don't copy the world's behavior, but I do it God's way, God transforms me into the person that I need to be.
Right.
I'm shaped into the image of Christ.
Right.
You got it?
Right.
And I think that that is the key. A lot of times when you come to our church, one thing I love about our church, I love a lot of things, but one thing I love, growing up as a little boy, you did not see a lot of men in church. You got it? We'll just be honest. This church, both services, is full of men everywhere you look.
Right.
And that is a great thing.
Great.
You got it? You know, and then you see men serving, you see men worshiping God and those kind of things. And I tell men, you got it, like when we become saved, we're still strong men. You got it? Like when we get saved, you know, we don't become soft. We're still men. You got it? But what happens is our heart becomes soft because the word of God begins to soften our heart to the degree that I want to love my wife, and I want to only be with my wife, and I want to take care of her and protect her and do those kind of things. So I'm still man, and I'm still all man, and I'm still masculine, because we live in a society where they're trying to throw masculinity out the door. I don't believe in any of that.
Right.
You got it? So no, I'm still all man. I can get you know, and do, I don't know if I can do 100 push-ups anymore, but anyways, I'm still all man. But what happens is the word of God changes my heart. And then as the word of God changes my heart, it doesn't soften me as a man, it just softens my heart to want to do God's will.
And that's what makes the wife honestly fall deeper in love with the husband.
Yes.
When they see that he is submitted to God.
Right.
Instead of just what everybody else says. Because
right.
A lot of times you get not true information.
Okay.
Or it could be skewed information from the world or
right.
from your friends who have not been successful in marriages.
Right.
So they start giving you stuff that don't work, and then
right.
they start believing that. But when
right.
you see your husband is submitted to what God says,
mm-hmm.
then that makes it, you know what, I'm going to follow him because he's getting the right information from
right.
the right person, which is God. So
right.
well, I love to see men just leading their families in a way because they are truly the head of the household. When you see a man taking charge, I'm like, go ahead, brother, you do that. That's
right.
how it's supposed to be.
Right. That's good. Amen. That's good. So let's talk about the world's way compared to God's way,
yes.
all right? And because when you hear the world's way, it almost doesn't sound bad.
Right.
You got it? And but when you hear God's way, it sounds better.
Right.
All right? So let's put the world's way up on the screen, and ladies going to go through them. Read.
So you say I'm going to cut up today? I think it's you. Okay. So
you are so beautiful, baby.
Thank
She's
you.
Gorgeous, ain't she? I mean, it's just okay to be honest, right? And every man should feel that way
right.
about his wife.
Right.
Like, not just in front,
right.
you got, but all the time.
Right.
You're like, I always am fooling with her. You got it? That's
this
my
is
girl.
That is accurate.
Yeah, I'm always fooling with her, flirting with her. You got it? You know, I ain't walking by her and not putting my hands on her. You understand what I'm saying? Like,
that is accurate.
That is accurate. That's my girl, you know? And I think that that is the thing that you have to, you know, let's keep going.
Yes.
Let's talk about
okay.
the world's way.
The world's way. Find the right person.
Uh-huh.
You fall in love.
Uh-huh.
Fix all your hopes and dreams on them.
Yes.
And if failure occurs, repeat steps 1, 2, and 3.
Okay. So it sounds good, but God's ways is better.
Right.
All right? Because you think, okay, find the right person. That sounds good. Fall in love. Yeah. Fix all your hopes and dreams on them. Okay, what's wrong with that? Now put up God's way.
God's way is become the right person.
There you go.
You walk in love.
Uh-huh.
You fix all your hopes and dreams on God. And if failure occurs, you repeat steps 1, 2, and 3.
Right. All right. So let's keep God's way up on the screen. Well, matter of fact, in the back, we're going to flip, okay? So we'll go to God. We'll go to the world's way. So the world's way, the number one, says find the right person. But but God's way, number one, says become the right person, all right? Marriage isn't as much about finding the right person as it is being the right person. And yes, we want to find the right person. But what happens is during the single state, you should be working on you,
right.
being the best you, developing your relationship with God, working on anything you've got internally. And
right.
then, you know, and I'm being very honest, sometimes we go through situations, and if we're not careful, we'll bring baggage from an old relationship
right.
into this relationship, or we have dealt with trauma, and if we don't get healed from that, we bring it from that relationship to this relationship. And it's so important that we make sure that we work on us being the best us, and not I'm gonna marry you because I got all these deficits, and if I marry you, you're gonna fix me,
because no,
you
right.
can't fix me.
Right, right.
You got it?
Right. And then what you're looking for, you're not going to necessarily find it in that person.
Right.
And one of the dangers I see a lot of times, too, is that we're often trying to find this and seek that. Mm-hmm. And that's why you keep finding yourself in different just mess because, you know, because you keep getting tangled up because you're trying to fill a void that only God can fill.
Right.
And that's why, like you said, I you just got to make sure that you become the best you.
Right.
You know, just start doing things that you enjoy.
Keep talking.
Go to the movies. You know, go to a restaurant by yourself. It has been bothering me. Thank you so very much. Thank you. But anyway, so sometimes, you know, we find ourselves where we're always trying to fill all these empty voids that only God can really fill. But then you're trying to, you know, find this in a man. Oh,
right.
He didn't have that, so let me try somebody else. So you go to a different man. Now you don't have 33 boys, you know what I mean? Because
right.
you keep trying to find one complete person when you're not complete, number one.
Right.
You know, so you got to make sure that you get yourself together. Then you won't start trying to find all these different things in people.
Because, I'm sorry. You're looking for what you need in the wrong place.
Wrong place. Right.
Because the Bible says, when you search for me, you will find me when you search for me with all of your heart.
Right.
So when you go after God, he fulfills you. He makes you whole. He puts the joy in you.
Right.
You got it. He helps develop you and mature you. And so by the time I meet you, I should be in a decent place.
Right.
I'm not perfect.
Nobody's
you got
perfect.
Nobody's perfect. We've been married 25 years and I ain't perfect. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
I mean, ladies, she say she about got me where she want me. You understand?
Oh,
but
yeah.
Still, I ain't perfect,
yes.
Right?
We've worked on it.
Yeah, all right. And so number two, let's go back to the world's way, is to fall in love. But God's way is to walk in love.
Walk in love.
And I think that's the key. Because, you know, if you walk in love consistently, when God sends you the right person for you, you'll fall in love.
Absolutely.
That's no problem.
Right.
The world's way says fix all your hopes and dreams on them. God's way says fix all your hopes and dreams on God.
Right.
And that is the difference. Thank
right.
you. In the back. And so God's perspective on marriage and relationships is for each person to make the other person's life better and for us to serve one another. It's not just the will of God for the wife to serve the husband,
right.
but it's the will of God for us to serve one another. And if we do that, that's what makes the marriage work.
Right.
You got, but be, you know, I, you know, if you know, this is not in our lesson, but if I could give married couples the best advice possible, that maybe, let's say, even you know, the scripture's the best, but if I'm just going to give the natural advice, keep people out of your relationships.
Oh, yeah.
Like, don't let anybody get in your relationships.
Right.
You got it? Keep it between y'all. Because see, here's the problem. If me and you, you know, are at odds and you go tell your friends or you go tell your family, you got, and you already upset and you emotional and they feel bad for you, they ain't gonna like me.
Right.
And then we gonna work it out.
And
they still ain't gonna like me. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
So that's why you gotta keep folk, you know, the same thing.
Right.
If I was to get upset and go tell my friends and my family, then they'd be, oh, no. And so you keep it between each other and get the help you need. And if you're in trouble, watch this. If you see there's some trouble, get help early. Get help. Don't wait till it's just all blown out. Y'all talking about going to divorce court.
Right.
Get help early and don't allow pride, which is the number one thing that keeps us from us helping, from us getting the help early that we need. We have an awesome marriage ministry, Elder and Mother, they run it. Pastor Pat and Minister Debbie are a part of it. And everything they do is absolutely confidential. Nobody's going to find out your business. And we have helped so many
right.
couples in this church who have incredible marriages now because they knew they needed some help.
Right.
And some of them just needed adjustments. It's not always, you know,
right.
sometimes you just need to go get a good tune-up.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? I mean, that's what we do with our vehicles,
right?
Right? And so I think that that's important.
Right, and I think one of the things you said earlier was about serving. And I mean, I think you have to realize that whenever you're in a relationship, you have to serve one another.
Yeah.
You know, even with friends, you know, you want to be a good friend because if they feel they cannot confide in you, they'll never want to talk to you because you're going to keep telling their business
right.
everywhere. So you want to make sure that you're somebody that people can talk to, can depend on. So you want to be the best person you can be. That way you can serve out of a good heart. Because if your heart is all messed up, you have issues, everything is going to be skewed.
Right.
And so, but again, if you want to make sure that you're in the best place, that way you can serve your spouse and
right.
make their day better. How can I make his day easier? What can I do to make your load be a little bit lighter for you? So in a marriage, you want to make sure that you're always doing things to help alleviate some of the stress out of the relationship instead of adding weight and stress to the relationship.
I mean, the whole idea of getting married is living happily ever after.
Right.
Right. Like that's the whole goal, right?
Right?
The whole goal is not to live miserable and us be fussing and fighting all the time.
Right.
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 And so we have to understand that.
Right. So our key statement that we have here is that relationships are kind of like a midterm exam. The less you study, the harder the test will be. Marriage will be hard if you don't study for it. And most people spend more time, money, energy, and focus on the wedding date and then instead of the marriage itself.
Now, that's a mouthful right there. Right. That is a mouthful. And I think that it's so important. The Bible says how we husbands dwell with your wives according to knowledge, right, to learn them. I believe that the Bible is universal. I believe the principles are universal. I think it should go both ways.
Right.
I'm learning you. You're learning me. We're
right,
working, you know, things out. Understand that we are a team.
Right.
You got it? And so we are better together. We're
right,
better when we're working together. We're
right,
better when we're in agreement.
Right.
If you've got something you're trying to make happen, I'm going to jump with you, and we're going to make that happen.
Right.
Then when it's my turn, I'm trying to make something happen, you're going to jump on my team.
Right.
You got it. And we just keep moving forward
right,
with Jesus at the center and living an incredible life.
And we keep learning each other because,
yeah,
again, it's been 25 years.
Right.
And some of the things that I liked then, I don't like anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But you took the time to keep every change I made. You kept learning all my little adjustments. Likewise, because,
right,
again, we keep evolving. So
right,
you can't think, oh, well, this is what you liked 25 years ago. Well, I don't like that no more.
Right.
And you cannot be mad, number one, if he doesn't know that because you didn't communicate it.
Ooh,
so you
that's
have
good,
to make sure that you communicate to your spouse what you like and what you don't like. So pastor knows certain things that, like one point, I didn't like live flowers because I always killed them. They never lived past 2 days in my house. But now I want me some live flowers. Why? Because I think they're pretty. I don't
yeah,
care how long they last. But now, but again, before he had to stop buying me flowers, I'm like, don't waste your money on flowers. They're going to die. But now I don't care how long they last because I like live flowers.
Right.
But he took the time to realize that, yeah, before she didn't like them, but now
right,
she does. So now he brings me flowers. But again, had he just always went about how I used to be, I would not be, and because I communicated,
right,
he would not have known that I changed because I didn't tell him. So you cannot hold your spouse accountable for something they don't know.
Right.
They're not psychic.
Ooh, that's good right there.
You have to make sure that you let them know.
That is so
like,
good. And we're really getting into communication, which is fine because it doesn't matter if we go ahead and talk about it. But my thing is this. I don't know everything going on inside of you.
Right.
And I can't meet your needs if you don't tell me what they are.
Right.
You don't know everything going on inside of me, so you can't meet my needs
right,
if I don't tell you. So what we do is, long time ago, we
right,
say, hey, you know, this is what I need from you.
Right.
And you said, this is what I need from you.
Right.
And now we work on those things.
Right.
If things change, we tell
right,
each other and
right,
those kind of things. And so so now there's no guessing game.
Right.
You got it. We know what each other needs, and so that we're going
right,
to fulfill it.
There's no sense you walk around mad and agitated because they're not doing something, but you didn't tell them that you wanted something.
Right.
So that's honestly, that's just unmerited stress on yourself because you did not communicate what you like. So.
Yeah, and now you're mad, and now you really don't want to communicate.
Right, and
right,
you sure better not try and touch me because you didn't buy me my flowers. Next.
And, you know, it's funny you say that because husband and wives, if you be honest, a touch does so much for you.
Right.
You got it. It really does. It can relieve stress. It
right,
can calm you down.
Right.
You know, that lady, she just always been like, when we drive down the road, she'll put her hand on my shoulder or she might rub the back of my neck. I absolutely love that. And so, watch out now, girl. Watch out. 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 I'm going to stay sane. All right. So, you know, but what happens is, I think that's a trick of the enemy. Girl, stop. I think that that's a trick of the enemy, right?
Right? He touched you with no, a trick of the enemy? I'm playing. Okay, go ahead.
You see what I'm dealing with?
Okay,
so when we get, not us because we don't do this, but when couples get upset
right,
and they don't want to touch each other,
oh,
that's
yeah,
a trick of the enemy.
It is.
Because what happens is if we're mad at each other, like one thing we do is we keep talking. Like
right,
like one thing, lady doesn't fight. Like we don't fight at all. People don't believe that. I don't care what people believe. I know it's true. You understand? Because we have a relationship. Now, do we disagree? Absolutely.
Right.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. There's things that she totally disagrees with, and there's things I totally, but we just communicate about.
Right.
We talk to each other.
Right.
And she'll be like, well, babe, I don't really feel that. And I say, well, babe, that's fine. But I don't feel that. Okay, no problem. You know, but we're not going to fall out with
right,
one another. You got it? There can be something that we disagree on even to this very moment.
Right.
But we're not going to let that affect our relationship. Because
right,
more is at stake than our feelings and how we feel about something.
Right.
And so what happens is we're not going to allow us to stop touching each other and stop talking to each other,
right,
you know, and those kind of things, because those are the things that really help get you back to where you were.
Right.
You got it? Because, yeah, there's a spiritual side, but there's a natural side.
Right.
So I'm like, if I'm driving down the road and you always touch me, and now all of a sudden we mad, and we went all the way from here, you got it, to 3 miles, to Food Line, and you ain't touched me, I'm wondering what's going on.
I wouldn't know why you didn't. No, I'm playing. So, but I think we process differently.
Yeah.
Because, again, you want to know, okay, I know I said what I said, but that's what I said. I don't care if she mad or not, she better touch me. And I'm over here thinking, I ain't touching him because he done made me mad. You
right.
know what I mean? So we're processing differently.
Right.
But at the end of the day, we have to realize, okay, am I going to let this pride stop me from us moving forward?
Right.
Are we going to stay here? I'm going to stay on my side of the car. You stay on your side of the car,
right.
and we'll pick it up whenever.
Right.
But that's the enemy.
And it makes it worse. Yes.
It makes it worse.
Because it's prolonged.
Right. And you started adding all this other stuff to what just happened right then.
And now the enemy starts
right.
throwing all these extra thoughts.
Right.
So all we disagreed on was where we was going to eat. But now the devil got you wanting to go to divorce court.
Right.
I mean, because that's how the devil does. It's the small fox that
right.
destroys the vine.
Right.
Typically, you got, not all the time, but typically, it's little stuff that makes you blow up and those kind
right.
of things. And so you have to learn how to eliminate those. And so, you know, we communicate through everything. Let's tell them where we're going. You got it. And then let's give them our 3 points. All right. So we're going to talk about, even though our series is Uncommon Love, we want to focus for the next few minutes on uncommon commitment, because it's going to take commitment in the relationship, in the marriage, if it's going to work at a high level.
Right.
All right? Commitment means staying loyal to what you said you were going to do long after the mood you set it in left you. All right. So, you know, when wedding day, you said, I do. You got it. Now you're mad at the joker. You said, I don't. You understand? But commitment says I'm in it for the long haul. Commitment says I made these vows. I'm going to keep these vows. Now, y'all know how I feel. It takes two to make a thing go right. I do. You know, we had situations. Unfortunately, life happens. People go through a situation.
Right.
They're abusive. And I'm never going to tell someone to stay in an abusive situation where somebody's beating you down. You know, I know God hates divorce. I know the scripture. But as your pastor, I'm not going to be like, well, you just stay there and take the beating.
No.
That God doesn't want that.
No.
You got it. Matter of fact, the writer had to give some grounds for divorce and the reason for divorce. And, of course, I'm an advocate for you making it work, but I understand sometimes that happens.
Right.
You got it? But it's abuse, it's adultery, and abandonment. You got it? And we've seen, in our 16 years of ministry, times where, you know, people stepped outside of the relationship. They came, you got it, got the help they need, forgave each other, you got it, and having the best relationship. So even though the grounds that the scripture gave doesn't mean you have to.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Right, right.
You know, and so, but I just, I understand that life happens. You got it. There's people in this room today that are divorced. So don't go putting your head down, feeling
right.
all the shame.
Right.
Right. But you got to understand, I'm talking to the married folks now. Right. So now it's my job to talk to those that are still in it to win it. You got
right.
it. And so I'm trying to help you.
Right, that's good. And I think, like you said, there's no condemnation if that's where you are.
Right.
But at the end of the day, you know, we have to make sure that we are still committed to God, number one, because
right.
he's going to help us get through it. And we have the definition for commitment as a calculated choice to set your course with an unwavering obligation to go above and beyond your original expectation to accomplish a predetermined objective. That was a mouthful. A calculated
that
choice.
That was a James MacGyver definition.
Was. Okay, a calculated choice to set your course with an unwavering obligation to go above and beyond your original expectation to accomplish a predetermined objective.
Well, it's long, but you know me, I break down my definition. So it's a calculated choice. It's not an emotional
right.
choice. You got it? Because, why are you laughing?
No, yeah, you got to break that down. It's like, yeah.
Well, because it's not an emotional
no,
choice.
No, that's right.
Because emotions can say, I like you one day and I don't
and
like
I'm
you the next.
Right.
right. And so it's not an emotion. It's a calculated choice
right.
with an unwavering obligation. It doesn't matter how bad it's gotten.
Right.
You got it. That I'm going to go be above and beyond my initial expectation because I said I'm in this to win this as long as the other person is. You got
right.
it. Now, if the other person isn't, you got it. Then that's right. A whole different story. Right. But I'm going to do everything I can. You got it.
Right.
I don't have an I will if you will mentality.
Right.
Well, I'll treat you right if you treat me right. No, I'm gonna treat you right regardless. You got it. Because I'm going to do everything I do it as unto the Lord.
Right.
You got it. And so in every relationship, we are to be the godly influence and the righteous consciousness in every relationship. People should understand righteous behavior by looking at you and by looking at me. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter if lady don't do this, but it don't matter if lady gone off on me and you know and that kind of thing, and now you're looking for my response. Everything I do as unto the Lord. And so I'm going to love her. I'm going to forgive her. I'm going to treat her good regardless of anything she does to me, because it's the righteous behavior. Watch this, as a result of my relationship with God, from spending time with him, that gives me the unwavering obligation and commitment that I'm going to do it God's way regardless.
Right, that's good. And my thing is this, if we're in it, then let's make it work.
Yeah.
You know, because at the end of the day, I don't want to be, like I said earlier, coming to a place where I'm not happy.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to do all I can to make sure that my house is a home for everybody, not
right.
just me. So I'm not going to be dogmatic. I'm not going to be somebody who's always causing an uproar in the house. But I'm going to do my best to make it work. You know, people want to come, that my husband want to come home, that, you know, my nieces want to come over. So you want to make sure that, you know, this is a decision I've made. I'm going to go full throttle, and I'm going to make sure that I do all I can to make it work instead of make it, you know, a chaotic situation.
Right. So there's 3 points, and we're going to try to get to them. I don't have a lot of time, but hadn't this been good? All right. Number one, I commit to prioritize you.
Yeah.
The most successful marriages are the ones where the couple has bought into the fact that they must make each other their priority. Bottom line, lady is at the top of my list. You got it in the natural. We know God's at the very top, but right under God is LaConte McIver. You understand what I'm saying? She's above the kids. Jay and Hannah, they come under lady. Why? Because Jay and Hannah are going to grow up and they're going to leave. You got it? Now, I have responsibility to them all my life. I'm going to love them, pray for them, you know, do what I can to help them. But lady and I, we're going to be married together until Jesus returns.
Right.
Right? That's a confession. Matter of fact, it's important that you pray over your spouse.
Right.
Every day, I pray over lady. I pray a lot of different things. And then besides the prayer that I pray over her, I have a confession. And then in my confession, it goes like this. Father, I thank you that LaConte and I are in complete agreement and unity. We work together as a team, and we are an unstoppable force. I thank you that we don't fuss, we don't bicker, we don't argue, that we are truly in love, that there's no strife or no envy in our relationships, and we are walking in our wealthy place. And so I'm laying out everything, every way I want my life to be. And our life is exactly the way I made the confession almost 23, 24 years ago. You got it? And we live exactly what I've confessed. Well, why do you keep confessing it? Because I want to keep it staying that way. Does that make sense?
Right.
And you have to understand that. And so it's my job to prioritize you.
Right. And likewise, even as a wife, I have to make sure that I prioritize you, because it's easy to kind of just go through our day and maybe I'll check to see if you want something to eat. Hmm. I done ate, but did I see if he wanted something to eat?
Right.
You know what I mean? But I mean, that's the little small things that can cause strife in the marriage, where we always think about ourselves.
Right.
But we can't always be thinking about ourselves when we are married, because it's not just me. I have made the commitment that I'm going to bring
somebody
along with this on this journey with me. So I have to prioritize my spouse. I have to make sure that, you know, again, that I consider you.
Right.
But I'm considerate of things that you like, because I know even now, like, we don't always eat the same thing.
Right.
So sometimes I'm making two different meals. Why? Because I want you to also have something that you enjoy, not just what I like. It's so that everybody is getting, you know, their needs met in the household or in their relationship, not just the one person. So you have to make sure that you are considerate of your spouse.
Yeah, and when we talk about needs, when we talk about the top need for the woman and the not top need for the man, every woman needs love,
mm-hmm.
and every man needs respect.
Right.
You know, and I think that, you know, of course, women need respect and men need love. Absolutely. But typically, those are our number twos. You
right.
got it? And for women, it's love and then respect. For men, it's respect and then love. And it may vary for people. But overall, that's how it is. Every woman needs to know, brothers, that she is loved. that she is loved unconditionally. You got it? That she is not in competition with anybody. You got it? That you have her at the top of your list. And brothers, when you walk with your wife into a room, I don't care if it's 1,000 other women in there. I don't care if they're all top models. Your wife needs to know, baby, you are my choice. We have been in this together. You got it? I don't care. Yeah. You know, I understand just because I got married don't mean that women going to stop being beautiful. You understand? Right. But I understand that God gave her to me, and this is my woman, and she's going to know at the end of the day, she is my choice. Does that make sense? She ain't ever got to worry about me being stupid in that area. You got it? No, she knows that, you know, that, like, you know, I'm his choice, you know, and I show that to her, you know, by what I say and how I do.
And I was thinking about the 9 o'clock, how you were talking about competition. You know, as a woman, you know, I have a boy, I have Jay. Jay's my son. And there's something about a mother and her son, right? So the wife needs to know that she's not in competition with the mama.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because I know when Jay gets married, I'm sure I'm going to be somewhere just looking through the window, like, what's going on? You know what I mean? Because, I mean, that's going to be tough for me to release him to another woman.
Right.
Okay? Whoever she is, she got to come through me for
okay,
sure.
Okay. All right.
But she has to know that there's no competition. That, you know, I hands down can cook. But he has to let her know when he marries this woman that I choose your macaroni over your mama's macaroni. Even though it may not be good. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? But seriously.
It may be good, baby. It may be good.
It ain't gonna be as good as mine. But anyways,
But
wife has to know I'm on a competition with the mom.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because now I'm the wife. I'm the woman that has to be prioritized.
That's good.
Over the mom.
No, that's very good. That's a good place to clap right there. I mean, And that's important, and a husband needs to make his wife feel that way.
Right.
You got it. He needs to make his wife feel that way. You know, I get that to a point, because you know that's how I am with Hannah. My thing is this: you know, you can have her if God says you can have her. You got it, and then you follow all my stipulations. You understand what I'm saying? And I have some stipulations. You understand what I'm saying? You know, and I am saved. I do love the Lord, and I don't commit crime. You understand what I'm saying? But if you ever abuse my daughter, you understand? Right. I can't promise what may or may not happen. You understand what I'm saying? You got it? Like, when we meet, you know, I'm always packing. You understand what I'm saying? I always keep my 9 in the back. Almost, I didn't bring it today because if I see it, somebody from the side might see it. You understand? And so, you know, people be, you know, anyways. and so, you know, but like, you know, and we all going, you know, he going to come to the house, you know, and we all going to get in the car and go to lunch. You know, I'm going to do what I always do. What I do, I take my gun out and I put it in, you know, I put it in my console right in the middle. I'm going to keep it on top. Yeah. And so, you know, now once I find out the brother loves God and really loves her and going to take care of her,
right,
then it's fine. Like, yeah, you know, you good. I'm going to support him. Take care of her. If you need anything, let me know.
Right.
As long as you love her, as long as you don't abuse her, as long as you make her your queen. Brother, you my friend.
Right.
You got it? And so that's how it has to be. You
right.
got it? So he don't have to worry about being in competition with me.
Right.
You got it? He just got to worry if he ever do anything stupid.
Right.
If he ever have a dumb day.
Right. And like you said, though, that the men need respect. And I think that it's very important that as wives we respect our husbands.
Right.
You know, there are certain, you know, relationships where I know the wife is a little bit more aggressive
mm-hmm.
than the husband. You know, some husbands are just laid back.
Right.
But that's fine.
That's
totally fine. You still cannot make them feel like they're worthless because you,
right.
because you have that tip, the skill for certain areas.
Right.
You still have to respect them and, you know, stroke their ego. You're a great man.
Right.
I love you. You're an awesome person. So don't make them feel belittled or
right.
like they don't matter because, you know, you're the person who may be, you know, getting a little bit more aggressive
than the other. And the thing is, when you understand you're a team anyways.
Right.
So it doesn't
right.
matter who's doing what.
Right.
Where
right.
I'm weak, you're strong.
Right.
Where there's things that I'm not good at that you are great at.
Right.
And you don't have any problem doing them.
Right.
There's things that you're not great at that I'm like, oh, babe, I can do that.
Right.
right? And so we work together as a team. It don't matter. Like at the end of the day, I don't know where we got this. The man got to be the one to pay the bills. Let me tell you how I feel. The one who knows how to handle the money best, y'all pay the bills, or y'all sit down together
right.
and pay the bills so everybody knows what's going on, because I believe everybody should have access to money, you know, and that kind of thing. You got it. I don't mind different accounts, but if a crisis comes up, it's all available to
right.
replace the AC. Come on, somebody.
Right.
You know, y'all in there, it's 99 degrees. And Brother Man's like, I ain't, you know, it's $3,000. I got $1,100, you know. And you and she got $6,200. I ain't got nothing.
You better get another job.
Yeah, right. You better provide. You're supposed to be the provider. Now, let me say something as it relates to love and respect that I really believe. Brothers, I really believe that if you love your wife right, it's going to be easy for her to respect you. I really believe. If you love your wife, and I mean really love her, she's going to respect you. That's going to fall. That's just going to fall into place.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
And so the two biggest, when we're talking about priorities, I know we're out of time. Can we get about 5 more minutes, then we'll wrap it up? You all right? Okay, because I just want to show this to you. The two biggest ways that we can show each other how we prioritize is through time and communication. I think it's important that we make time for our spouses, that we spend time. I know we've got kids and we've got careers and we've got that, but we still have to continue. Matter of fact, our number one was I commit to prioritize you. Number two is I commit to pursue you, right? And so we can't stop dating after we get married.
Right.
You got it? Why do we stop doing the things that we did when we were dating that attracted us to each other? You
right.
got it? You can't stop having fun. We can't stop playing around. We can't stop flirting with each other. You got it? Like I'm always, you know me, I'm the jokester. I'm going to have fun.
Right.
I'm going to do some stuff. You know, I'm going to always have you happy and have you smiling because that's what I want. I want you to be happy. I want you to be smiling. And I think that when we make sure that we commit to give each other time,
right.
you got it, that it makes me feel like I'm important.
Right. And I think that's very important that we do that because a lot of times, like you said earlier, we can, maybe that was the other service, but we almost like we're roommates. Because,
yeah.
you know, we come home and you're on one side of the house. You don't know. I didn't even know you were there because
right.
you don't even say, hey, I'm home or nothing.
Right.
But we just have our separate lives. And I think that that's where a lot of times the breakdown comes.
I said roommates, then I said friends with benefits.
Yeah, friends with benefits. Yeah. Right. So it's like, I mean, but that's not how it should be.
No.
There should be some open communication.
I want to be around you.
Right. And I want you to want to be around me.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And I want to be around you.
And I want you to be around me.
And I want
all the time.
I know.
So. You know, I know this is crazy, right? But I always get up early in the morning, right? My alarm is set for 6. I'm typically always up before 6 o'clock.
Yes, he is.
You know, and when I wake up.
Hey, just so you know.
Oh, Lord.
So you close the door.
In the morning?
Yes.
Oh, because I turned on the lights in the bathroom.
Just, you know, the light comes through that little opening that we
have. Oh. Okay. This was a perfect time to tell me that. But you know,
like, I've been meaning to tell you this, you know.
How long we've been living in the house?
I've been meaning to tell you.
So I can do one or two things.
Okay.
I can try to figure out a way to cover that up there.
I can
very gently pull the covers over you a little bit higher.
We'll talk about it later.
Okay, all right, okay. So that's all I got right now.
Yeah.
But where I'm weak, you're strong, so maybe you got a better idea. What were we saying? I wake up in the morning.
Yeah, early.
And like,
yeah.
She's not up yet. Like, I'm ready for her to be up.
Right.
Like, when I wake up, I'm up. Like, I'm happy. I'm smiling. I don't need 30 minutes to get myself together.
You don't need 5 seconds.
I'm just like, man, this is the day the Lord has made. You know, there was one of our members had an emergency, and they called my phone at before 6 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, hey, so-and-so. And she's like, oh, Pastor, you really are a morning person. I was like, well, you think I was lying? You know?
I'm like, where does he get this from?
And so, like, so I'm in the bathroom this morning. I close the doors. I try to keep her. But I can't wait till she gets up. You got, like, I'm waiting for her to wake up. So this morning she wakes up, and she walks in the room, and I'm shaving. I'm like, hey, babe.
And
she's like, Because she needs a few minutes, and that's okay. Like, that didn't make me mad.
I mean,
I was just happy to see her.
He was smiling while he's shaving. I'm like,
But I'm happy to see her.
And I'm trying, like, okay, don't be grouchy. You know, I'm telling myself. I was even telling myself, say good morning. But you know what came out?
And I asked her, I was like, do you want your coffee now? You know, because
yes,
and I get up, you know, because I make her coffee. You got it? I do, like you know,
yeah.
and you know, I didn't know, because what I do is I do everything, and then I go downstairs and pray. So she gives her time to get herself together. I'm all ready to go, but I'm going to go have a little talk with Jesus. And by the time I have a talk with Jesus, 30, 45 minutes later, then she's ready to talk to me. You got it? But we, see, and that's the thing.
Not mean.
Oh, no, she's not mean. Yeah. No, not at all. But you got to learn how to make it work.
Right.
Like, I don't need time, but she does. So I got to respect the fact that she needs
and
some time.
I am so appreciative.
Yeah. And so I'm like, hey, so when I say you want your coffee an hour later, do you want it now before I go and pray?
Right.
Or do you want to wait the 45 minutes to after? And she's like, I want it now.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay. And so I go downstairs and I make her coffee. And when I make her coffee, I pray over her. You got it? Like, today is Sunday. So I'm praying over her every day. But the prayer at the coffee machine is different than the prayer I pray in my closed room. No, because I'm praying, Father, I thank you that we're going to have a great day today. I thank you that that your anointing is on her, that as she's on stage, ushering in your presence. Father, I thank you that you think through her mind. You speak through her lips. I said, Father, I thank you her vocal cords are strong, that her pitch is right, that she stays in key, that Holy Spirit, you remind her of anything that she needs to say during worship. Why? Because when she gets up on stage, I want her to minister to you, but I want her to be able to flow in the Holy Ghost like she always does, right? So I'm covering her in prayer. Like, I don't want her to look bad. Come on, somebody. I don't want her to look bad. I'm so sick and tired of jokers wanting their wives to look like they're there and the husbands are up here. That ain't none of God.
Right.
Like, the two become one.
Right.
So I'm not here and she's down there.
Right.
I'm not in the front and she's in the back. When we walk together.
Exactly.
You got it? And so my thing is, I want her, to do good. So, I brought her her coffee. Praise
it
the Lord.
It was good.
It was good. Praise the Lord.
You put a good prayer on that coffee.
I put a prayer on that coffee. But that's, that's the
right
thing. And so, but just like I'm doing this, you're like, oh, he's such a good man. There's a lot she does for me,
right,
just like
right
I do for her. There's a lot of extra things. She making two different meals because she knows, well, he's on this particular diet right now. And I'm like, babe, don't do that. I'll pick me up something. She ain't going to do that. She's like, if I'm cooking for me, I'm cooking for you.
Right.
You got it? I mean, that's just sometimes like yesterday, I was like, babe, she made some, what you make? We tried them last night.
Oh, the oxtails?
Yeah. Oh, Lord, she made some oxtails, Lord Jesus.
Good.
Yeah. And so we tried one small one last night because she wanted to cook, so we had something today. You understand? And my thing was like, babe, don't cook. Like, okay, you already been doing stuff today, cleaning around the house, and she had to get
and
a bunch of.
I cooked earlier.
Yeah.
I cooked all day yesterday.
Yeah.
Okay, anyways.
And that's what I be trying to tell her. And I'm like, babe, don't cook.
Right.
Like, I didn't get mad, but I was almost like, just go sit down.
And I said, I'm doing what I want to do.
And that's why I let you do it.
Right. Because
what I want her to do is go sit down, go watch some of her favorite shows, the ones I don't watch, so she go up to the theater room and watch them by herself. You got it. And she's okay with that.
Totally.
You got it. She got it. Because she watched shows that I have no clue why you would ever waste any time watching a show like that. Because, the way I think, I think very logically. And some,
so he's going to ruin the show. So I'm like, you know what?
Yes, yeah, I mean, it ain't 5 minutes into the show. I'm like, ooh, she crazy. And I can already tell she going to try to steal her husband.
And the baby.
You got it. And she going to go to jail in the end. Okay, so she's like, well, you go out of here. I most certainly will. If you notice, we have fun.
Right.
So we don't fuss about it.
Right.
Like, I don't care for what's the name of that
lifetime.
Yeah, I don't care for that. Now there's things we do watch together. You got like Wednesday nights. That's our night.
Yeah.
We gonna watch Chicago Fire, Chicago Med,
Chicago
PD. You
right
understand what I'm saying?
Right.
We watch all the football games together.
Right.
Lady knows football. You understand? Like, she knows all the players. Only issue I have with her with football is she still has not joined the Dallas Cowboys. Other than that, We watch, we watch everything. Oh, boy. So in closing, Maestro.
Well, let me just say this.
Okay, all right, she wants to say something.
I want to say, when we're talking about the pursuit part, I think it's very important that we do not stop pursuing our spouses, even though, like you said earlier, we still have to date. But a lot of times what hinders the spouse from pursuing their spouse is if there's some unforgiveness in the relationship.
That's good.
So a lot of times because, you know, something may have happened and you didn't forgive, now you don't want to touch.
Right.
Now you don't want to go out. You don't want to do anything with them because you're still upset.
Right.
So you've got to make sure that you handle all those little things that have been, again, robbing you of that time with your spouse. And you go ahead and, you know, ask for forgiveness or release them for what they may have done. Like maybe they forgot Valentine's Day, or they forgot the anniversary, or they may have stepped out. If that's what you said you're going to stay in the relationship, then you have to really fully forgive so that you can pursue and keep building on the relationship.
And this is why the Bible says to don't let the sun go down on your wrath.
Right.
Because even God knows if you don't forgive for this and don't forgive for that, it builds up. But if you follow the scripture, it says don't let the sun go down in your wrath. So if we were at odds, before we go to bed, we got to work it out.
Right.
And we got to make up. Right. You understand what I'm saying? You got it? And you know, do whatever we got to do, right? We got to make up, praise the Lord. You got it. We got to make up good too, right? And so we'd be happy, right? And then, but it's not like it's compound. Some of them caught it. Some of them didn't. It's okay. And some of them, watch this, and so it doesn't compound. Right? And so don't let the sun go down in your wrath. Forgive, communicate, figure out what it was, say I'm sorry, you know, and then go right back to touching. You got it. Just don't, you know, go right back to smiling and those kind of things. And this, the thing is, you always put it behind you. So when something new comes, deal with it, put it behind you. If something new comes, deal with it, put it behind you. Instead of you waiting until it's 17 things and be like, that's it, I'm leaving. Like, oh, wait a minute. Because we didn't address it. And so if you address it, and you know, you can move from it. And so that was really, really good. Anything else? What?
No, I'm good.
Okay. Our last point was I commit to protect you. I commit to protect you. And I am always going to do everything I can to protect my wife. I'm never going to make my wife look dumb in front of nobody. I'm not going to correct my... You've been with me, some of y'all, 16 years. You ain't never seen me correct lady in front of y'all. You ain't never seen it. If that, first of all, you know, number one, she don't really do much. But it, let's say she was to say something. Like, let's say we're doing this, right?
I can
and
say
she
something.
Yeah, she can say something. But let's just say she says something, right? And I'm just like, that was so not what you need to say. I'm not going to do... I'm going to keep flowing. And then when we get home, I'm not going to be mean. I'm going to be like, bae. You can't do that, right? Like, I'm not going to get all, like, I don't know why. We're going to make it fun. Like, and she's like, well, why? And I'm going to tell her, so, okay, all right, no problem. And we just move right on from it. And but I'm always going to protect her. She's always going to protect me. We're always going to make each other look good. Because you know, when she looks good, I look good. When I look good, she looks good. Why in the world would I not want my wife to look good?
Right.
You got it? And so we got to protect one another.
Right.
Yeah. All right. We're going to pray and we're going to go home. Father, thank you for every person under the sound of my voice, whether it's in this room, whether it's on live, or whether they listen to it later, especially those that are married. I think everybody got something out of this, married or unmarried. But we pray for relationships right now. We pray for restoration. We thank you for forgiveness taking place. I bind the hand of the enemy that tries to bring strife and envy and all kinds of things that come along with it. I thank you, Father, for causing those storms to be still. I thank you for your peace and your presence coming into those situations and overshadowing them. I thank you that the heart of the husband is turning toward the wife in an even greater way. I thank you that the heart of the wife is turning toward the husband in an even greater way. I declare that they work together as a team, and because of that, they are an unstoppable force. There is nothing that they cannot do that they set their hands to do together. So I thank you that this year things are changing in their marriage. I thank you that this year that they are going further than they've ever gone before. I declare increase in their lives. I declare favor in their lives. I thank you that they come together and you give them witty ideas, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I thank you for multiple streams of passive income and that they make money while they sleep at night. I declare that their best days are not behind them, but their best days are ahead of them. I thank you for it. I give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Can you give the Lord a big hand praise?